With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
High drive, deep left field, at the wall, gone! Padres trailed 8-0.
Now, you know, Yurko, I don't bag on the Cubs. I don't hate on the Cubs. You know that. You'd consider me a fair fan, right? I'm a Sox fan. I don't like the Cubs, but...
I think you are fair.
I'm pretty fair, right?
I think you are, yes.
Last night wasn't exciting because it came at the hands of your Cubs. Last night was exciting because our Padres, me, Hoodie, Jeff Meller, our Padres... had a nice rally, and Nando in the eighth with the go-ahead bomb to deep left field into the glorious San Diego Knight, my good friend, off of your closer, and the Padres rally for a victory. The Cubs at one point, I guess, were like minus 5,000 to win. I saw Jesse tweet that the Cubs had won 234 consecutive games when leading by eight or more runs. The last such loss was 2002, and it just happened to be here in Chicago on the South Side during a Cubs-Sox game, which Yurko astutely remembered was...
I got reminded of it this morning.
Oh, yeah, Mac texted you, right? Yeah, Danny Mac texted. Mac has said, you know the last time they blew a lead like that?
I remember it.
Canerco hit a big home run in that game, right?
He got hit in the head, if you remember that correctly, by Kerry Wood.
I do.
Then the next time at the plate, he hit a home run. Yeah.
Got it. It was an errant Kerry Wood curveball. It wasn't like Kerry was doing anything malicious. It wasn't, they had a lead. Why would you be hitting guys? Kerry Wood lost a curveball and it hit, you know, Paulie in the head, stayed in the game. Obviously, it was just a curveball and then hit a home run later and the Cubs blew that big lead.
They blew that big lead.
That was the last time that happened.
And I was reminded that we interviewed Matt Ginter that day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Matt Ginter.
Matt Ginter. 0-2.
Did Mac remember that?
Yes.
That's pretty good. I mean, like, I barely remember Matt Ginter. I covered those teams.
I didn't even know who the hell Matt Ginter was.
Holy cow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So
I love it. Yeah, you guys are interviewing a Matt Ginter. Was a Rocky Biddle couldn't be far behind.
Oh, you know that. Kelly Wunsch.
Kelly Wunsch. Rocky Biddle.
Get Kelly Wunsch in there.
Keith Polk.
Yeah.
Kelly Wunsch. That's awesome.
Was Soroka still on that team?
No, not by then.
He was gone? Was it that year?
Soroka was traded, I think.
Parquet?
Yeah, Parquet and Soroka were traded after the 2000 season, right? So I think they had already been gone at that point.
What about Burley? Was Burley there?
Burley would have been probably, if I'm guessing, would have been probably a rookie. I think those guys, I think Soroka and Parquet were gone for the 01 campaign when they brought in David Wells, right? Wasn't that trade between 2000 and 2001? I thought it was. So I think those guys were gone. And I bet you Burley might have been a rookie on that 2000 team. And I'm going to check because now you've piqued my interest. There was a Rocky Biddle on that team, Yurko. We were right. Oh, my God. Gary Glover, remember? Danny Wright. Yes, Mark Burley was on that team. And you know what? I forgot Burley ended up... Burley ended up coming up during the 2000 season in the bullpen. His first year as a starter was 01, so that was Burley's third year. My memory's a little hazy, sorry. But I forgot that Burley came up as a rookie to help out of the bullpen in the division-winning year of 2000. Anything that you were upset about with Craig Counsell last night? I mean, I don't know how you could go to Jose Kwas right now. I mean, Kwas is getting his brains beat.
I'm not upset at all with the great Craig Counsell. Everything he does is just—it's got a sense of greatness about it. I'm just so happy that he's in our dugout with the Chicago Cubs.
I don't know if we'll be able to have a serious conversation about this all summer.
Anything
he does
is kind
of funny to me. I don't mind.
Anything he does, Carm, is tremendous. It's great. It's an absolute joy just to have him here. Much better than David Ross. Much better.
You know, I heard Sylvie was yesterday. I heard Sylvie on the air. They had a brief show ahead of the White Sox, but Sylvie was venting a little frustration about what happened in the only loss of the Dodgers over the weekend, the game on Saturday. I don't think Sylvie liked some of the managerial moves, turning to the bullpen when he did, instead of who started Saturday. Where am I? Was it Wicks? I think Jordan Wicks was the starter, right? And he was kind of going after counsel a little bit. For that decision, I have a feeling Sylvie's going to be a little hot later today about the decision to turn to Kwas. At some point, you do have to, you got to give the manager a little bit of a break when you're trying to work a guy out and you're trying to see what's going on. Like, at some point, he's got to come into a game. Now, maybe you don't like the leverage situation, but you got a big lead. You got like a 6-run lead. If ever there's a time to be like, all right, let's try to get this guy worked out. I just don't know how you're going to find some spots for Jose Kwas right now because he's been shelled. We'll talk to Jesse about that in an hour.
It was Wicks, Carm.
It was Wicks, right?
On
yeah.
Saturday, so he didn't like pulled this. Wicks.
He thought the hook was too quick.
Four and two-thirds of an inning.
He took him on the fifth. And that's when the Dodgers scored. This is what's going to happen, though. You know, and it's not Milwaukee anymore. And I don't know what it's like up there. That might be unfair to say. Who's to say that after every bad decision, or at least, you know, decision that opened itself for second guessing, that people didn't call our good karma brethren up in Wisconsin and rant and rave about Craig Counsell? I really have no idea. I mean,
seems like they might have been tired of him up there.
That could have happened.
Either way, he only scored one run. Doesn't matter what move he was making in the fifth inning. If you only scored one run in the game.
Maybe not.
Right? Wicks had already given up two runs.
Yes.
So maybe he was trying to make something magical happen, and that's the same guy that gave up all the runs yesterday, or started that inning to give up the runs.
Yeah, Kwas is struggling.
Kwas. His name is Kwas. Yeah, it's hard for me to criticize Craig Counsell. I mean, he's just tremendous.
The Cubs' offense has been very good. They jumped all over Darvish yesterday.
Yeah,
the San Diego bullpen did a great job, but it's still been very good. The Cubs' offense is seventh right now in all of baseball, so top third.
They got a lot of walks.
WRC+. They are eighth in slugging. To Yurko's point, they are first in walk rate, and they've got the seventh lowest K rate. That's a great combination. You love that. Belly's driving in runs. Your guy Ian Happ is getting on base a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thunderstick.
Seiya Suzuki. Well, can you be a Thunderstick with no home runs?
Still a Thunderstick.
I don't know. I don't think you can.
Switch hitting Thunderstick, too.
How about
gives you
like,
20 a year. He gave you 20 home runs a year.
How about like, I don't think that's a Thunderstick.
It's cold outside, Carm.
Not in San Diego.
No, it's good. Well, it takes a while to adjust to the heat. I can't. Why are you even criticizing the Cubs? How can
the Cubs
be criticized?
I'm just saying, I don't think you can call a guy a Thunderstick when he doesn't, like, when his high is 25 home runs. Like, I don't think that's thundersticking, you know? You want to call Nick Foles a thunderstick, that's a different story. Like, I get it. He can be a thunderstick. But
Vince,
like, if you're
Vince
talking
Vaughn's
about,
a thundersticker.
If you're talking about Ian Happ, the baseball player, like, I don't
he's
know,
phenomenal.
Man.
Great player.
Well, I'm not saying he's not good. He gets
he's
on base a ton.
Winner, Carm.
You know who is a...
How can you argue with him?
Do you know who is a wizard in the field? Well, you know, and Cub fans know. And Nico Hoerner is an absolute wizard with the glove.
I'm glad he's gotten used to second base.
That's awesome.
I am. I'm glad he's gotten really comfortable there.
Last year. He is fantastic.
Oh, he's just a dream to watch.
I mean, he's already made a handful of plays.
He's a glove man.
This year, that you just give him the gold glove again. No, like, he is a glove man.
Yeah. Real good glove man.
The guy you have to be most encouraged about
is Suzuki.
Yes.
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 I used to jump on a Yamaha. Now I'm jumping on a Suzuki.
What kind of a joke? I mean, you know.
They don't always hit, Carm. They're not always grand slams.
Both of those, essentially.
You're talking about old Yamaha and Suzuki motorcycles or Wave Runners. I don't know.
All right, Yurk, take a timeout.
That's a five-minute major.
You give Charlie Bevins crap all the time for his stand-up act. That was brutal.
I told Chuck, you got to throw it all against the wall to see what works and what doesn't work.
True.
I asked him for a tight five the other day. He panicked.
Poor Charlie.
Give me a tight five right now. You got to perform.
Right in front of me, right now.
What are you, Johnny Carson?
Really, you're like Carson.
Who do you think you are?
I could be a talent agent. I could make a phone call for him if I had to.
Could you imagine?
I'd call Dom Herrera. I call my good friend Dom Herrera and get him up there.
You're going like 1975.
No,
out in Hollywood, trying to be a talent agent.
Yeah. I'd be like Joey's talent agent. Remember her? What was her name? Yeah. Esther?
I don't remember if it was Esther, but I do remember. I remember that actress.
Always lying to him.
Yeah.
I'd be good there. So casting couch, got to have one of those.
All right.
Well, that's different. I don't think Charlie's interested in that.
Never know. He's trying to make it. All right, I'm banned.
I think that's a five-minute major.
Should we just go to break a minute early?
Yeah, I think we should.
Casting couch.
What are we doing?
Yurko on the casting couch. Or not on the couch. Forgive me. Yurko behind the camera. Yurko, get back in here.
He's banished.
Get in here. I was going to tell you, I'll give you some porn. I'll give you some Seiya Suzuki porn. Get in here, knucklehead. hopefully you're watching on YouTube. Follow the Carmen and Yurko YouTube page. We have our own page. Follow it. So like and subscribe. Just search at Carmen and Yurko in the app or go online. Just put in youtube.com/@Carmen and Yurko and make sure you like
it. Give me the love for Suzuki that you wanted to give me.
Since August 1st, last year.
I sidetracked you with my great jokes.
It was so good. Since August 1st of last year, minimum 125 plate appearances, good kid. All of baseball, okay? So sample's building here a little. It's a couple hundred plate appearances. It's nice. Here are your WRC Plus leaders. That's weighted runs created plus. It's kind of like it's like Fangraph's version of OPS Plus, basically.
I got you.
Here are WRC Plus leaders in all of MLB. Mookie Betts, number one. Marcell Ozuna, number two. Royce Lewis, number three. Think about how great he's been since the latter half of last year.
Phenomenal.
I'll give you $100 for his team. Matt Olson, number four. Seiya Suzuki, number five.
It's pretty good
in all of baseball, behind some really impressive hitters and some really impressive offensive players. That's what you've got to be most encouraged about. So I know yesterday was disappointing, but the Cubs are hitting, they're scoring runs, they're getting on base a ton. But Craig Counsell's opened himself up a few times already for a little second guessing with some of the stuff that's happened in the bullpen. Such is the life of a big league manager, good kid. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, you're going to get second guessed no matter what. Doesn't matter who you are. You could be the most successful manager out there. You're still going to get second guessed.
100% correct. 312-332-3776. Cubs thoughts. Billy Donovan thoughts. Should he stay or should he go? What will he do? Are you hoping that the White Sox keep sinking into this abyss only to maybe open some eyes down there? And I don't even know if that's possible at this point, at Jerry's advanced state, or if it's even going to matter. But are you rooting for the bad, like kind of, you know, when you're on the highway and the Gapers delay's happening and you're just sort of like compelled to look at the carnage on the other side because it's so bad? Are you compelled to be like, I want to see if the White Sox can even score a run?
Yeah, I love the badness.
I'm not sure they can. Are you embracing the badness? I mean, I didn't think they were going to be good. This is dreadful, folks.
It just started, Carmen.
And it maybe is just beginning.
It has just started. You are 1/16 of the way through the season. 1/16. 6%. 6% and change, Carm.
Wow. Yikes.
Man, it's in its infancy, babe.
It's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You know, Yurk, I play the what if game a lot. That's a bad character flaw, I know. I do it with my sports teams a lot, though. I can't help it. I do the man, what if the Bears drafted Mahomes thing a lot, you know? But what's even worse is, like, Tatis. And I know he's had his issues. I know it hasn't been perfect.
He has a suspension under his belt,
he does,
right?
Yurk. He has a suspension under his belt. He has a, you know, a foolish injury that was sort of needless and senseless that didn't have to happen a couple years ago that caused him to miss a lot of games. I think it was a wrist at the time that he hurt. that wasn't baseball related.
Right, right.
You know, and it's like he's been a little bit of a knucklehead. Like, there's the knucklehead factor there a little bit.
He's got it.
But boy, is he talented. And like, what's different than Mahomes is, like, he was in your system. And, you know,
you had him.
People do the thing, like, the same thing they do with Mahomes. Well, nobody knew it was going to be that good. Well, the Sox went, well,
you needed James Shields.
He was still
Shields,
in
though,
your system.
Right? You needed James Shields.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you had to have
James Shields.
Yep.
So I do play the what if game a lot. Like, man, what if they would have just kept him? And, like, what if Zach Wheeler would have taken their money? What if Manny Machado wouldn't have played them? What if they would have went after Bryce Harper? I do play the what if game. Like, man, what if those things would have been different? You wouldn't be 1-10.
Didn't you offer Manny more money?
The general consensus is that Manny Machado, without question, played the White Sox.
Yes.
That Manny Machado never for one second
gave a rat's ass.
One rat's ass about coming to play on the south side of Chicago.
That's right.
And that they used the White Sox to jack up the price.
As leverage.
I don't think they ever were interested in Harper, which I don't get. Just don't get it.
Yeah, Bryce Harper.
Do you remember
Harper?
They signed Machado's brother-in-law?
Yeah. Yes. I forget his name, but yes, I remember. That was a
it
ploy of the White Sox.
It was the outfielder. What was his name, Chris? The little slappy outfielder. What was his name? He was a little outfielder, barely played. We had him on. He was a nice kid, actually. We had him on trying to figure out what he was going to take. Why am I blanking on his name? Do you remember, Chris?
No, I don't.
I can't remember. He played in the bigs a little bit. You know, like, he was like, damn it, I can't remember his name. Somebody, I bet the Twitch chat.
Did they try the same thing with Clay Thompson's brother? They were trying to get Clay on the White Sox, so they signed.
No, I think
Clay's
the Bulls
brother.
Were trying to get Clay, so they signed.
Oh, okay.
Clay's
all right. It seems to be a thing they try.
That's pretty good. Trace, they signed Trace. Trace was like still banging around the league last year. I was like, damn, I'm like, Trace is still playing? Adam, check the Twitch chat real quick. I'll go to Tuesday. I guarantee you somebody knows. I'm just blanking on the kid's name, the Manny Machado's brother-in-law. They signed him thinking that this was going to be it. And they, you know, and like, and from what I have heard.
Yonder Alonso.
That's it. It was Yonder Alonso. That Manny had absolutely zero intention or zero interest whatsoever of playing for the White Sox. He wasn't an outfielder. He was a first baseman. That's right.
He's also related one way or another to Albert Almora.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Like, by like a blood relative? He was the brother-in-law of Machado.
Yeah.
And then he was like a blood relative of Almora? Is that right?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Wikipedia could be wrong. Anybody
Sweet
can go on there.
Jesus, Yurko. I don't know. So,
all right.
You know.
So while not officially related by blood, he considers Cincinnati Reds outfield Albert as his cousin. The two grew up together in Hialeah, Florida, which is outside of Miami,
mm-hmm.
and where Manny was raised, you know, by whoever, but they kind of spent all day with each other.
Yeah.
All the time with each other.
Oh, here, yeah. Meller texted me. Oh, I got everybody.
Well, yonder?
Here's all
yonder
the White
Alonso?
Sox. All the White Sox. Yeah, Yonder. Yonder Alonso.
What's Meller texting you for?
Because I was wondering. I couldn't get Yonder Alonso's name for some reason.
But now you got him.
But, yeah, and you know, like, and I know, like I was saying, I know there's been a little bit of a knucklehead factor with Tatis, but, man, he's good, you know? He's good, and I don't know. It just sucks. It all sucks. 1-10, shut out in 4 games. Let's go to Dean downtown on ESPN 1000 with Carmen in New York.
About
what up, Dino?
To be good here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
We're doing all right.
So, Good Kid and you and Bleck were talking, and Adam, you guys were talking earlier about, you know, this job opening at Kentucky, and Chris Bleck makes a good point. I understand what he's saying about the constant need to recruit these kids, and I heard Yurk kind of hint at, like, you know, maybe they're not going to have to do all this work if you have some good assistance under you. I especially think that's true with a program like Kentucky. I think Kentucky and Kansas are really the last of the two blue blood schools where you would absolutely have to leave to take that job. I don't even think you'd put Duke, North Carolina, certainly not like Indiana or even UConn in that category anymore. And, so if they have the money, you know, to do that. They don't have to worry about the money. And then I was telling Adam on the phone, I'd love to see Rick Pitino come back, guys. He's my favorite coach. I love when all that went down. He took it on the chin, Carm. He handled it like a man, accepted responsibility. And honestly, the guy's a G. He was in blue chips, fellas. Good kid. I saw him at Prime 112 on Miami Beach. Two working girls on each arm. Take that.
All right. Dean, thank you, Dean.
Oldest profession in the world.
Patino, you really want Patino's not going back to Kentucky. You can't, right? You can't.
I don't think he can go back. I mean, he did go to the pros.
He can,
right?
Coach.
After Kentucky, right?
Patino left Kentucky to take the Boston job, right?
Yeah. And then failed there miserably, then correct. Took the Louisville job when he came back.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Then got banished, then went to Iona briefly, now he's at St. John's. I think, and he was in Greece for like a year. That's how bad it was. Yeah. Things had to sort of die down. Not a very good guy, Rick Patino. He can coach, that's true. But
was he coaching Olympiacos or Panthiacos?
I don't know. One of them. He was coaching some weird team in Greece, I think, for a while, Yerk, for like a season or two, as he had to let the dust settle.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not a good guy. I do think he can coach basketball. You got to weigh that. What are the real blue blood jobs left in college basketball? Is it just Kansas and Kentucky? I still think Duke and North Carolina fall into that category, don't you?
Yeah, is UCLA is kind of falling out of favor. Arizona's still a strong program, Carm.
They go to the tournament. Now, it's going to be interesting. They're going to be competing in the Big 12 now. Think about that next year, Yerk. You're adding Arizona.
Monstrous.
Holy cow. Yeah. I mean, the Big 12 is going to be a beast, isn't it?
Beast, Carm. Beast, yeah. That's going to be tough for the nails. I mean, they might have 9 teams coming out of there.
So UCLA's going Big 10, right? But any other
UCLA and USC, I believe,
and USC are going Big 10. Zona's going Big 12.
Has Oregon's big money gotten them anywhere?
They're going to Big 10.
Yeah, Big 10 with Washington.
Going to Big 10 too with Washington.
Is there anybody else for like basketball standpoint, or is it just Zona, guys, that's going to the Big 12 that's going to make that even more of a bear in the Big 12? Is it just Arizona?
Is the Big 10 close to being the Big 20 now?
Yes.
And is it time to change all the branding to Big 20?
Yeah, why not? I mean, like, what's the point? Why are you calling it the Big 10?
Exactly.
Why not just call it, like, the Big Conference?
You guys agree with me?
Why don't you just call it Big? Like, seriously.
Should
it
be the Big 20?
Like,
no, I mean, the branding's there. You, like, they haven't been 10 teams in forever.
They haven't been 10 teams in 20 years. They were set at, what, 16 before? A long time. We get it. I understand it. But at some point, the Big 10 becomes ridiculous.
But the Big 8 went to,
it's all ridiculous. They ruined college sports.
It's been...
The Big 8 went to the Big 12, right?
Realignment ruined everything. Blame the TV partners. That's what it is.
I'll blame
all right, has it,
ESPN
has it,
is who I'm blaming.
Has it ruined college sports, or is it just has it made it?
Is it better?
I don't know, man. Like, I still like watching college football a whole heck of a lot, but I'm also like, I don't have a school in the fight. I have no allegiance to one program, to one person, to one coach.
You speak like, to Paul.
I can just watch. Well, I was more speaking football-wise here.
Oh, football-wise?
Yeah, like, I can just watch college football because I enjoy football. I enjoy watching football in the fall and winter. I like Saturday watching college football. I like Sunday watching pro football. That's what I like. Without having a dog in the fight, like, I don't know. Chris asks a good question. To me, I don't know that it's been ruined. I still get enjoyment out of watching college football. If I had a deep allegiance to a team and you had to deal with everything that goes into now recruiting and NIL and portals and things like that, I might be more annoyed and I might say, no, it's not better. Is college football ruined for you? Are college athletics ruined for you because of the portal, because of NIL?
I think it depends on where your fandom lies. Like, if you're a team that's in the Big Ten, that's always been in the Big Ten, you may not really care. But you can't tell me that ripping apart the Pac-12 is actually better for college athletics.
I can't argue with that.
And
that does
suck. Putting Stanford in the ACC...
That sucks.
Does not make college athletics better.
No.
It just doesn't.
You got a point there. What they did to the Pac-12, that is kind of crummy.
Pac-12 did it to themselves.
Maybe they did.
They did it to themselves.
Was I reading a story?
Poor leadership.
It's not just them. It's the Big 12 as well, because with Texas and Oklahoma jumping to the SEC, now the Big 12 was scrambling to pull partners into their conference, and that's what it was all a domino effect that came from Texas and Oklahoma – and then USC and UCLA. Those are the four that kind of started all this.
I can't remember that. I was reading an article in the fall, And I really don't, unfortunately, I can't recall too many of the finer points or the details, but it was an article about the irony of what you just said, Yerk, that the Pac-12 did it to itself, and that whomever penned this was writing how, like, 15 years ago, certain presidents of the Pac-12 schools actually saw this coming and tried to warn the conference. And it kind of fell on deaf ears. And now look. Now look what happened. Like,
it was also the failed TV network.
Was that what it was too, maybe?
Yeah. Larry Scott was the worst commissioner in all of college sports.
Jeez.
And he drove the conference and their TV situation directly into the ground.
And now
and that's what this is.
And you ripped apart, like, the Pac-12. I mean, this is the, like, right?
Yeah.
Pretty historic.
Come on, guys. The Conference of Champions. Gone.
Gone.
Bill Walton.
I mean, gone.
Think of all the classic teams that were.
It's gone.
All gone.
Forever. Think of USC football. Think of UCLA basketball. Think of Arizona. Think about Oregon's history in the last 20 years. And it's gone.
Stanford's football history.
Stanford's football. Thank you. I didn't even mention Stanford.
Again. What about the Palouse? They're just there.
Yeah, I have
right. Nowhere to go.
They're just like, Palouse? What are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's
who's
it's
left?
Terrible.
It's Washington State and Oregon State.
They're the two that were left out.
Because Washington's going to be Big Ten. It's Washington State and Oregon State.
Who took Cal?
Cal is, good question. What is happening with Cal?
Anybody take the California Bears? I don't think so.
I think those who didn't defect to the Big Ten all went to the Big 12.
Yeah, you might be right.
Wasn't it Cal, Arizona State?
You might be right. We gotta like refresh our memories and keep track. It is sad. More Washington State and Oregon State are just like, hey, yo,
the Beavers and the Cougars.
The Beavers and the Cougars.
Let's go.
What about us?
Play Notre Dame.
We'll do the lunch rush coming up next. Jesse Rogers joins us at 2.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Little swingers action. We'll do the lunch rush here in just a sec. An hour from now, we'll cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie. Cal's going to the ACC. Cal and Stanford are playing in the Athletic Coast Conference. That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it, Yurko?
It does at that, my friend.
That is a paradox, an oxymoron. It's weird. It's crazy. It's wild.
It's nutty.
It's nutty. It's goofy.
It's weird, but after 5 years, people get used to it. Then young kids will become a little bit older, and then they'll only remember that they were in the ACC. They'll never remember about their Pac-10 history.
So weird.
Yeah, that's why nobody cares. You know, you cycle out people.
Hmm.
They get older, and then nobody cares about them, and then the young kids come in. Oh, I only knew it as the ACC.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? Back when? I was only 4. Well, you ask me to think about when I was 4.
Before we get to the lunch rush, John is in Hammond, wants to talk MLB loss record. Go ahead, Johnny.
Back in 1960, the American League went from 16 to added a couple of teams. 1962, the National League did likewise, and that was the Mets' first season ever.
Yeah,
and that year, they were 40 and 120, and they had two rainouts they did not make up.
Right.
So that's the record for futility, not 119.
There you go. Was that a 107? Oh, you know what? You know what I did wrong then when I filtered it, John? I probably put a minimum of 162 games, and they didn't play that. I see what you're saying.
Right. Although it was scheduled as such.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be. So, yeah. So the Mets, that's why it didn't come up when I filtered it. John, thanks for catching that mistake then. We were wondering this morning up in the office and in the sports. Engine filter, I had just put a minimum of 162 games. So that's why it didn't spit the Mets out. So 120 is the record. Okay, so the Mets are the only 120 loss team ever, and that was that inaugural season.
And we're going for 121.
Ooh, John, thanks, buddy.
That's what we have to go for.
Yeah, I had it as the 03 Tigers who lost 119
41
games.
See, Yurko?
See what?
That's why you don't cycle people
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you just said you wanted to cycle people out, and we got this gentleman calling in to correct the stat.
That
sounded like an old-timer.
Sounded like Johnny was an old-timer. Who knew? You guys know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend like it doesn't happen.
I don't know.
41 and 121, then, is our new goal.
That's the new goal. I don't want that to be a goal. What kind of a goal is that?
If you're going to be god-awful, let's be the worst of all time.
I said 42 at the start of the season.
I mean, Chris did say 42. I was like, 42? You got to win more.
I said 67.
People say I don't know baseball.
You luck your way into 43 in baseball, for crying out loud.
I know what I see.
I don't have a goal. I just want Tony. I just want Tony La Russa to come back and manage.
You know what, Adam, at this point.
What about Southpaw?
I don't even. Let Southpaw do it. At this point, let me do it. I mean, what difference?
Could you manage a game?
Yeah, I mean.
Think they'll let you?
You could manage a game.
Listen, it's a lot harder than anybody thinks,
yeah,
obviously.
But it's one game.
Yeah, I could manage one and probably not screw it up.
How
that
many
much.
Trips out are you gonna make?
Well, you can only you make what them? Is it? You can only make you can only make two, and you got to make a change.
That's crap.
I think I could maybe manage one game.
Would you get tossed out of the
you
game?
You know, that's a if Angel Hernandez was had the plate, I guarantee I'd get tossed.
Either him or Laz Diaz. Either one or two. Laz had two.
Angel Hernandez is an embarrassment to the profession.
Yeah.
And the best is already on Instagram. You see it, too. He's an embarrassment. If Angel had the plate, I'd make sure I did. Yeah, it's one game. Why
suit
not?
Suit coat.
No suit coat.
Come on, break
Connie
the,
Mack. I mean,
break the crazy tradition of wearing the uniform. You're not getting in.
You
wear
play?
A suit coat. We'll call a
blazer.
You
the, wouldn't yeah. it be great if, like,
we'll Pedro going to take the field?
Wouldn't it be great if Andy Reid were on the sideline in full pads and a uniform?
Yeah, it's
like
so stupid.
Like a baseball manager. Wouldn't that be if Billy Donovan had a Bulls jersey and shorts on?
Like he's going to get ready to sub himself in?
I think some dark jeans and a nice blazer, I think that'd be a good look.
I kind of miss the suits for
You'd
NBA
look smooth.
Coaches.
Do you?
You look like a European soccer coach.
Yeah, that's true. They always look sharp.
They do.
I think I can manage one game. All right, Adam, let's get to the
lunch. You look like the special one.
Let's do the lunch rush. Hold on. I got to fix that. I got to change the cameras here. People want to see things. We got to move some things around here. There we go. All right, time for the lunch rush, guys. College basketball season is over, so let's look ahead to next year. The odds for next year's champion. Duke is the favorite, 11-1, followed by Kansas at 12-1.
Duke.
Connecticut, UConn at 13-1, and then Alabama, Houston, and North Carolina all at 15-1.
Wow. Now, I'm just assuming, and you know what assuming is, right? What happens when you assume.
You and me.
You make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, okay.
Three in a row. Do we got to go back to the UCLA dynasty for three in a row?
I do believe that's where you're heading.
Right? I mean, has anybody? Duke's gone back-to-back. Florida's gone back-to-back. UConn's now done it. Has anybody gone three in a row since the Wooden dynasty? I'm going to guess no.
I'm guessing. Wooden dynasty.
I got to double-check that, but that seems damn near impossible, especially in this day and age. So I can understand why they wouldn't be the favorite. And Duke's getting a Cooper flag, right? Is it?
Yes.
Right? That's mm-hmm. the big prize for John Shires.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I can see Duke being the favorite. I get that.
Cooper.
Yes. Thank you, Yurko.
Cooper the Hooper, Cooper. Yes.
Is that what they call him?
No.
I was going to say Cooper the Hooper.
I hope they don't. That's a horrible name.
Wasn't that bad?
Came up with.
I don't think it was that bad.
Cooper the Pooper.
Quick on your feet, Adam.
Hey, when it doesn't go well, it's Cooper the Pooper.
What else we got today, Adam?
Yahoo's NFL Big Board has been updated. I believe we sent you this yesterday.
Oh, is this Nate Tice's?
Yeah, Nate Tice.
I actually have that. We should get to that.
That's
son
the
of
big
Mike
board,
Tice.
Carb.
He has, and he has for a while. This isn't like he's changing it. He has, since the end of the college football season, Nate Tice has been adamant that it's May 1, Caleb Williams 2. Not that the Bears are going to select them, but that his prospects are
correct.
Drake May 1, Caleb Williams 2, then Marvin Harrison 3, Brock Bowers 4, Roma Dunze, Olufoshanu, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. He doesn't have Jaden Daniels until 20th.
Wow.
On his prospect list.
But he's still going to go in the top three, guys. That's the way it is. Yeah, this is not his mock draft. Adam's right. This is just his breakdown. And he is not overly judgmental of Caleb Williams in here either. He just likes Drake May a little bit more. He writes, May is an excellent combination of age, size, athleticism, and arm talent with more feel in the pocket and creativity to his game than I think he's gotten credit for. Williams has superb accuracy, clean footwork, and has more overall soundness to his game than he's gotten credit for. Nothing has changed at the top for me. I view both as elite talents and both a full tier above the other options in this year's quarterback prospect class. And then I like the fact that he totally digs Roma Dunze, too. He's got, like Adam said, he's got Marvin Harrison, 3, but then his fifth best prospect on his board is Roma Dunze, and he writes, the more I watch a Washington on offense or defense going against the Huskies, my eyes just keep coming back to Adunze. He goes, he does so many things well. Actually, not just well, he's simply great at so many things. Plenty of speed to win downfield, burst to create yards after catch, with route running polish at all three levels, excellent catching range, and hand-eye coordination and strength that stands out on film. That strength and burst help him consistently beat press and break tackles with the ball in his hands. I've compared him to Chris Godwin. Adunze is a scheme, is as scheme and situation proof as they come. And I think he can be productive no matter where he ends up. Ty Frazier.
That is.
Roma Adunze.
Yeah.
Hell of a receiver, but that's why I said if he's there at 9, you should grab him.
Yeah. What else, Adam?
Don't outthink yourself.
Oh, gentlemen, we are but 2 days away
from the draft,
from the Masters.
Oh, the draft.
The draft.
The draft is 2 weeks.
The draft is 2 weeks. We're 2 days away from 2 weeks until the Masters. And Tiger Woods has been playing well in the practice rounds, he believes. And his quote is, if everything comes together, he can win one more Masters.
Oh, yeah.
He is currently 150 to 1 on FanDuel to win this weekend's
Masters.
He
has a back and an ankle that will not allow him.
He's got a left ankle that's fused, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What I am going to bet Tiger this weekend, I think, though, is Tiger to make the cut. He is eyeing the all-time record. He's never missed the cut, right? Never missed the cut at Augusta. And one more made cut, he will set the all-time record, Yerk, for consecutive cuts made. And I think no matter what, Tiger's going to have it in his mind to achieve that. So I think I'm going to bet Tiger to make the cut.
What's the number?
I have to look. I don't even know. It's just, it's been rolling around in my head since I read the article over the weekend that Tiger is eyeing the all-time consecutive cuts made record. I'm like, ooh, he's going to make the cut.
Top 40 in ties. Remember that. This is different than other tournaments.
Because it's a smaller
top field. 40 in ties. And I don't know if the 10-stroke rule's in play.
I don't know.
Usually they've got a 10-stroke rule in play,
he's
too.
He's basically even money to make
the
cut.
So he's even money?
It's minus 105.
Oh,
he's
basically I thought it might be slightly on the plus side. Mm-hmm. I was hoping I'd get, like, maybe a plus $1.20 or something on that. That's why I'm not a bookmaker.
You can get plus money on, because he's the last closest to even. You can get plus money right after him at Phil Mickelson at plus 115.
Yeah, I don't feel it as like with Phil. Like I feel it with Tiger, though. I think he's going to make the cut because
horses for courses, though, when you get with Phil Mickelson.
That's true, too.
Horses for courses.
Yeah, both those guys. He's got a new caddy, too. No more Jolakava, because Jolakava is on Patrick Cantlay's bag full time. Anything else? Oh, boy, that sounded bad. Phrasing. Sounded bad.
It's,
but you're talking golf. We know what you're talking about.
The final word. All right. Finally, guys, yesterday was the greatest day in history known to man. The solar, the total solar eclipse, the total eclipse of Carbon's heart.
I saw our good buddy Larry Mowry from Channel 7 crying in Carbondale. Did you see that?
I know.
Larry was emotional.
That's a shame.
He was crying.
Did we hit for the cycle? Did all weather people cry yesterday?
I think most of them did. I think NBC, I think I saw on Twitter.
Did we go around the horn with
NBC's
that? Pete Sack with a cry?
Yeah, he was crying. Yeah, I think so.
That's his name, Abdallah.
I know.
Do you not watch NBC 5?
What's the matter with you, Adam? That's the man's name.
ABC.
Can be familiar with
Tracy crying anywhere?
Tracy,
I don't think so. I think Tracy probably laughed at the rest of them for crying. I don't know. I don't think Tracy was crying. I didn't cry. I thought it was cool, but I didn't cry. My son and his, I gave four boys a lift to practice yesterday, right?
How'd that go?
And I wanted to poll them.
Yeah.
First, I said to Gio.
Did you ask him any questions?
All right.
You guys are another penalty for Yurko.
You guys are animals. Animals. Do you know that? Animals. You know, Joe LaCava on Patrick Cantlay's bag full time is one thing, but now you guys are animals.
All right. So
I said
to
Gio, I said, I said, what did you think of the eclipse? Gio's reaction, and I could have predicted this. Off. It was so boring. Okay, there's one.
That's my guy.
Then his buddy Will gets in the car. I said, all right, Will, what'd you think of the eclipse? Will's a pretty bright kid, too. Will was also like, his parents both went to Purdue. All he wanted to talk about was Purdue.
Right.
I said, Will, what'd you think of the eclipse? He goes, eh, it's kind of boring. It's like, okay, not as, like, Gio had the black reaction. Like, Will's was a little bit more, he's like, it was kind of boring. Then Jackson gets in the car. Jackson, what'd you think of the eclipse? He's like, it was fine. So it's very lukewarm here.
Yeah.
Then Sean gets in the car, and I said, all right, Shawnee, you're the last one. What did you think of the eclipse? He goes, oh, it was pretty awesome. I was like, yeah, my man.
You got one out of five.
Two out of five, 40%.
He's a 65-year-old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I think Pink Floyd's his favorite band. So he's like 12, and he loves Pink Floyd.
Carmen's like, we're going for ice cream. Sean, you and me.
But he's
the rest of you guys, nothing.
He's the advanced one. Like, he's the one already with girlfriends and everything. Like, he's way advanced above the other 12-year-old boys. You know?
He's advanced. He's living in a home.
He is way advanced. You know, like, he's definitely got it going.
Well, anyway, Google searches spiked after the eclipse for, quote, hurt eyes, and, quote, why do my eyes hurt? Oh,
have you guys seen the overlay of where those IP addresses for people searching my eyes hurt?
Is it right in the path
of
totality?
It's the exact path of totality.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that. That makes perfect sense.
You
really have to Google it? I mean, like...
Well, people, after yesterday, they were probably unaware that you shouldn't look at it.
Everything. Why do my eyes hurt?
Yeah. Even with the glasses, maybe your eyes are going to hurt a little.
So shout out to eye doctors who are in the path of totality who are doing great business today.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100-mile wide swath across the country.
No, that's it.
Wonderful. What a lunch rush.
That was a good one.
Mirko, how dare you? Jesse Rogers in 10 minutes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Jesse's talking baseball with us in like 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Jeff Passan will join us tomorrow on the show. I mean, here's the White Sox lineup for today, Yurk.
Let me hear it.
Okay, Robbie Grossman leads off.
Leading off, Robbie Grossman.
Robbie Grossman, I don't think has a hit this year. Robbie Grossman's OPS plus is minus 51. Not 51, which is abysmal. Minus
negative 51.
Negative, which I don't know that I've ever seen before.
I don't even, if you're zero, you're like 100% worse than the average ball player.
Yes. I don't even know how you get to negative.
When you're negative 51, it means like you're not even a minor league baseball player.
I've never heard of anything like that. So your leadoff man today has an OPS plus of minus 51.
Okay.
Moncada's been okay. Moncada hits second. Lenin Sosa hits third. Andrew Vaughn hits fourth. He's got a whopping OPS plus of 27. Boy, I was wrong on Andrew Vaughn.
Mm.
Corey Lee is your DH. Andrew Benintendi, who can't hit a lick. Kevin Pillar, who's way past his prime. Right. Paul DeJong, who's got an OPS plus of 80, and Martin Maldonado, who's got an OPS plus of negative 6. They have two guys in their lineup.
Negative.
With negative OPS plus. I've never heard that. With all that said, because it's baseball, the White Sox score more than 5 runs today.
You heard it here first.
Bring it back tomorrow, Chris.
Who did they play?
Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yes, with a 4:30 pregame. When they score 6 runs today, I want to hear it. Bring it back tomorrow.
Why?
I mean, is that just
because
some
I'm
random,
making my prediction?
It's just
I'm confused why you're even giving us the lineup. Like, what's going on right now?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm asking.
You. I'm like, giving you the lineup doing? Because look at
how bad it is.
But come on, you got two guys in your lineup who are negative.
They're bad.
I've never seen
16 wins.
I've never seen such a thing.
This is Jerry Reinsdorf.
Bring it back tomorrow.
Starting lineup. And keys of how to win the taxpayers of Illinois over.
They're not serious. That's it. They're an unserious franchise.
All right. With that said, they score, I'll say 5 plus runs. How's that? They're going to score 5 or more runs today, If they get shut out, can you at least bring this back? Please, if they get shut out, bring it back.
No, I think you should do something for us for having to listen to this.
No, I'm not doing that.
How about buying some sandwiches?
I'm not doing
some sandwiches for the crew.
If they get shut out?
Why have you punished our ears today?
All right, if they get shut out, I'll buy sandwiches.
Why have you punished our ears with all this nonsense?
Stop it.
If they score six runs.
You'll buy sandwiches?
I'll buy sandwiches.
If they get shut out, I'll buy sandwiches.
And if they score six runs or more, I'll buy sandwiches.
You're not doing five or more? You got to do six?
Six. Because right. You predicted they'd score five.
Sandwiches okay. On Thursday, though.
Why? Oh, Muslim, yeah, because Adam's gone tomorrow.
Muslim holiday tomorrow.
Okay, Eid fine.
He's marked, everybody.
What is it? Fatid?
He's going to pray to El.
It's Eid al-Fitr.
It's Eid al-Fitr.
Yeah.
Eid al-Fitr. I was close. Tomorrow. I just didn't know how to pronounce it.
Jesse Rogers. Jesse's got some big thoughts, he told me, on what happened in the Cub game last night. And
Jesse's got thoughts.
And all the insurance. Boy, I mean, with friends like the what I mean, you guys.
Who's your boss?
This is why that
seafood
listener
is great.
This is why that listener thought we hated Jesse.
Right? How dare you? Jesse joins us when we return in 2 minutes.
Now I got to ask some questions.